Hello and welcome to Missing Mystic Falls, where we cast a critical eye over every single episode of the hit CW show, The Vampire Diaries. My name's Catherine and I'm joined by my co-host Ellie.
Hello, hello.
And then we are also joined by our other co-host who was picked up by the police after she went up for a midnight stroll to see some horses, Alice.
Hello, hello.
Is that true? I was like, have I made that one up?
Yes, no, that one is true. When you say picked up by the police, I wasn't arrested. They just found us two little 8-year-olds wandering around in the night and, picked us up and took us away. And I say away, I mean
sorry,
home.
Picked you up.
Huh? Yeah, exactly. It is true. Yeah, we were on an adventure to see some New Forest ponies and were thwarted.
And went to the slammer.
I love that you say thwarted, like it was outrageous that the police were doing a responsible thing of like taking
you home.
How dare
they pick up these wandering children?
Anyway, we are talking about, I don't know, we are talking about season 1, episode 18, Under Control, which first aired on the 15th of April 2010. The episode was written by Barbie Clingham and Andrew Chambliss and directed by David Von Anken. As Stefan struggles to control his bloodlust, the whole of the Gilbert family are surprised by their visit from their Uncle John, who the entire town agrees is a dick. John has arrived to the town with an agenda, and Damon is determined to get to the bottom of it. Meanwhile, Jeremy decides to take matters into his own hands to discover what exactly happened to Vicky. That is what happened.
I enjoy everyone thinking Jonathan's a dick because, like, yeah.
Except
Mayor Lockwood. I think Mayor Lockwood's got time for Jonathan Gilbert, but I think other than that, but he's also a dick.
He's
like recognizes like.
Dicks band together. Yeah.
No, I love that it's accepted by everyone. Even Liz is like, we do not care for this man.
I wonder what he's done, because I feel like people who don't even really know him have no time for him. But I'm really intrigued.
He is very smarmy and slimy, and I don't know what his, I can't even quite know what his vibe is.
Yeah,
smug and entitled. But interestingly, I'm gonna say it now because we'll get it, me and Alice have said it so many times, so he plays a villain in the series Alias from way back when that me and Alice love, and it's about like 20 years younger, and he's British, but he's also like a smarmy, slimy character, and we find him really attractive
somehow it works. And he's sexy in Alias. Yeah. John Gilbert, not sexy.
Yeah, no.
Do you think part of it might be the show, all the other actors are so hot?
Well, like a Matt effect, like Matt in an ordinary world maybe would have been attractive.
He's objectively an attractive man, but for some reason on the show, he's like not at all. So maybe it's the same with John Gilbert.
Yeah, although I think it might be just like a Viggo Mortensen thing where he's only attractive as Sark, like that type of thing.
How does he dress in Alias?
I think he's often suited and... Yeah. He's suited? Yeah.
I think so. I'm rewatching it. He's only appeared in one episode, which is a really fun rewatch for me at this time because he's appeared...
So great.
But I think, I think he's always in like a full black suit, which is a good look for anyone, I think.
It really
strong
is.
Look. I did like when he arrived, Jeremy immediately left. He was like high and by and out the door without a pause.
And it seemed like everyone except Jenna was surprised by his presence, and even Jeremy and Elena will not stay and engage in a dose of small talk with John. They're gone.
No.
Yeah, they've had enough.
Even Matt hates him. And look, don't make me choose to be on a side with these two, but even Matt is like, oh, he's the worst.
I actually wrote that down. I was like, even Matt. And Matt's meant to be the moral compass of the show. He's not, but he's meant to be.
So when he says it, you know John Gilbert's a dick.
Oh, that's what they're doing.
But yeah, also talking about the opening, because I feel like the last episode left it on quite a cliffhanger with like all the blood bags, Stefan having a binge. I feel like the opening of this episode didn't have the same kind of tense opening that it usually does. It opens with Stefan doing some pull-up.
You've got to work for that physique.
Yeah, do vampires need to work out? Because my viewing was that they didn't until I saw this opening. Now I'm confused.
I don't think he needs to. I think he's trying to burn off energy / you know, distract himself from the cravings, because I think the show posits that all vampires are sexy.
Yeah.
And are ridiculously ripped and toned and have the perfect figure at all times. So I don't think they need to.
No, and that's like the same in Twilight. Like, you're just automatically beautiful the second you turn into a vampire. Yeah, that's it. I was just like, why are you doing pull-ups? But it's the same thing as passive-aggressive runs, I guess.
But yes. But we have, when Vicky became a vampire, she was already very attractive. They weren't like, she got, like in Twilight, they're like, you get more attractive. That doesn't happen.
Well, this was going to be my question, was like, then what does, do you just have exactly the look you have when you turn and then you can't change it? So, you know, if you're like, oh, I want to get work out and get fitter, it's like, nope, nope, nope.
Do you think Stefan Salvatore had the arms that he had in this episode back in 1864? Because I don't. His arms were incredible.
No one was ripped like that in 1864. People weren't ripped to like have like six packs. They had to actually work in the field. They had real muscles like for use, not to like do a bit of CrossFit. People were not ripped like that back in the day.
Oh, I would love to see an 1864 version of CrossFit. Like,
they play very slow football.
That's true.
Rugby? Were they playing rugby?
American football, yeah.
Oh, sorry, yes. I forgot it's an American show and I was like, what?
I'm just so in tune with it.
Of course. But what I find also funny about this scene is that, like, Damon's like, oh, turn the music down. And Stefan so sincerely, I think this is the most sincere interaction they've had, goes, sorry. Damon didn't apologise that much when Stefan killed Lexi.
I know. Also, it's very rich coming from Damon, who we know has had like a ridiculous amount of parties in this house with loud music and sorority girls. So I was like, what?
I like that the dynamic is like flipped a little bit, and like Damon is now trying to be the responsible one for some reason, and Stefan's off the rails, because when they talk about the Tomb of Vampires, Damon's like, what are we gonna do about that? Like, they're a little team now.
It's cute. But also it's believable. Like, you believe that Damon is now the responsible one in this episode. You're like, yeah, I'd trust him.
Yeah. How? But also because I think he's so open about how normally he'd be really thrilled about Stefan falling off the rails, but it's not going well for his own plan. So he selfishly is like, no. But I agree. I always really like the dynamic between Stefan and Damon when Stefan's a little bit off the rails, because they have a bit more like jokiness to them rather than Damon just joking at like a blank wall, which is what Stefan is normally.
I mean, I thought Paul was so fun this episode. Not my favorite episode overall, but I just like anytime he gets a little bit more interesting things to do. I think he's a really good actor, and I think he's actually probably the better actor out of the two brothers, but I think the role doesn't always allow him to show that.
It's also really good because with this one, it's like Elena feeling like she knows everything about Stefan, and them constantly having to be like, no, you don't. There's so you've only met this person who's been alive for 150 years. Obviously there's like more to him, and these kind of moments gives Paul a chance to show that, and the audience to see that as well, in terms of when, why maybe he only drinks animal blood and all of that, those points.
Because Damon has to be a sensible man and attend sensible meetings and go to Founders Hall, which is a crazy building we haven't seen before, right? Or have we seen it?
I don't think so.
Nor do I think we ever see it again, because I was shocked by this building.
Well, they previously, and I think bar the next episode, do all like the founders meetings in the Lockwood Manor. They already have a manor. Why do they need a hall?
And it's nice building. They want it all. Yeah. Well, they own the town. Well, not only do they do that, but they're doing a Founders Day kickoff party.
Right. My God. First of all, you cannot have a kickoff day to an event that is a day. That's crazy.
Right, but also, do you know what else I thought was crazy? Is like, surely they've already had a Founders Day event, because what was the event where Damon got the compass from? Because that was a Founders Day, like, museum.
Yeah,
that was Founders Ball
or something, wasn't it? Founders Ball.
But what is... No, you've said that like that's a thing. What is Founders
Ball? I was saying it more as a question. I was thinking if that was right. I don't know. Like, it's a mystery.
How can there be a month of Founders events? I don't understand.
right, yeah, you can't have a month events for Founders Day, but you also can't say it's a month of Founders Day events when you've already had a Founders Day event multiple months ago. Or weeks. I mean, I always forget the timeline. But it's been a while since the ball. So
that was September and this is January.
Right, so you can't have a kickoff event because you've already had an event.
Yeah, I agree.
Like, I'm
also,
sorry.
What I don't get is who attends, because the Donovans are like, oh, this is like a real, you know, mark that we're being allowed to attend because they're not founders. But also, the place is buzzing. Who is invited?
Because there's that random dickhead who doesn't seem to know Stefan or Elena. So, like, how come he's there?
Guys, the Donovans have never attended these events before, despite the fact that Matt's best friend's mum throws them. And remember, Mystic...
That is a very good point.
Mystic Falls is so small, I will not let this go. Stefan stopped a man in the street and asked which house is the Gilbert house, and they pointed him towards it. But equally, these events are not populated by the Donovans. The town is not big enough for anyone else to be going. I don't understand.
No, and the parties are always so full.
Yeah.
Where are they getting these people from?
Do you think they're just chipping them in? We need guests, guys. We need it to look like we're hosting a big event.
Maybe.
They're coming in from neighbouring towns. Hire a party.
But then still not invite the Donovans. Like,
madness.
What is the point?
Crazy. And sorry, I did say Tyler's mum throws the event. I would like to register my disgust that Carol is not in this episode, despite the fact
I was going to ask you about this.
They make reference to her.
Yeah, the poor form.
There's a lot of digs at Carol this episode, and she's not there to defend herself.
I honestly, I feel teased. I feel like you gave me, you know, an appetizer, and I want my dinner. Where's Carol?
Also, do you think she, because the party, they made it seem like she threw a really bad, boring party. I don't think that Carol would do that.
How dare they?
I think it's because Carol would throw a sophisticated party not aimed at teens. And yes, it's the teens who are then like, this is boring. Whereas she'd throw a classy party that we would love to attend.
Also, it was early in the evening. And like, you don't fucking start with the, I can't even remember what the song was, but the dancey song that gets everyone going. You don't start with that. You lead in with some nice piano work. Someone's coming around with fizz. There's a vol-au-vent. You're having a good time, and a amuse-bouche. And then you go into the dancey stuff. So these people don't know what they're talking about. Slander.
They don't know how to throw a party. It's a really weird vibe. On a massive side note, do you know what else Carol would be great at? A dinner party. Not only would she be able to do
that. Absolutely.
Incredible. I think she'd have, like, I'd love to see the menu. I bet you there's a wine pairing with every course. All of that point.
Drinks and canapes to start, I'm sure.
Yeah, definitely. Really good lighting, Al, which I think you would always approve of.
I would.
Ellie, you know what she'd nail? She'd nail the venue, the menu, and the seating.
I'm going to do a side note story, but the line from Hamilton me and Catherine are obsessed with back in lockdown, when we could only have two people round for dinner on top of our flat, and we'd consistently talk about the venue, the menu, and the seating for this six-person dinner party.
We drew out, and we always do this for dinner parties, but we also did it with six people. We drew out the table, we cut out little names, and we rearranged them. And there's only so many rearrangements with six people to work out what was the best.
Especially when four were consistently the same.
Yes. And lived together, so clearly got on very well. So,
but were the evenings not successes?
Oh, they were amazing.
Oh, they were.
Because of the menu, the venue, and the seating.
He's throwing a good dinner party.
And I know not part of the line, but and the lighting.
Yes,
it's my job at the dinner parties is the ambience. So I want to make sure it's included in it.
No, you do an amazing ambience.
Do you think we should get Lin-Manuel Miranda to change the line to include the lighting?
Yes, please. I would appreciate it.
What would you like it to go as? The venue, seating, and lighting? Where do you want lighting to be in that order?
No, we want it to be like, and Peggy. Like a little tag on at the end. And lighting.
Oh, that's perfect. Yeah, that works really well. But back to the party that Carol's throwing, yes, and not our dinner parties. I thought it was really weird vibe as well. Like, why do Matt and Tyler want to sneak off and drink Tyler's dad's alcohol? Why is Stefan... I know why Stefan's getting drunk, because he doesn't have his, like, bloodlust under control. But, like, I don't get why you'd want to go to this founder's kickoff party and then hide in a room with your best friend and get drunk. Why don't they just go to the woods like they always do for a teenage party?
No, you're so right. Also, the whiskey that, like, Stefan downs when he arrives, he, like, grabs a whiskey that's been sitting out. It is more water than whiskey. It is the palest fucking thing I've ever seen in my life. That's not going to stop any cravings.
And as someone who likes ice in her alcoholic drinks, that was too much ice in there. Like, they're barely amount. And I swear it was, like, literally just served to a person. They went, like, here you go.
Yeah.
To someone else.
To side note, just... to do a bit of the preamble before the party.
Yes.
So at this point, Elena knows that something's up with Stefan, because he did the, like, they were getting hot and heavy, and then he flung himself back and whacked over a lamp in her bedroom. Is this a scene from Twilight?
Oh, yeah. Oh, it actually is. I didn't pick up on that.
Yeah. Excellent point, Alice.
Well done, Alice. It's the same. It's
in the pat on the back for
yeah,
me.
Yeah, the first Twilight, Bella and Edward, he creeps into his room because he's a weirdo. They start making out, and then he gets too excited because his whole thing is he's a virgin. He's, you know, never kissed a girl. And then he flies back just like Stefan did. Yeah, 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 100%.
That's such a good spot. I was too distracted by the idea that there's Jenna, John and Jeremy downstairs, and no one seems... as far as we've seen, no one reacts about a massive loud thud and a smashed lamp while Elena's in the room with her boyfriend by herself.
Yeah, that's a good point. So on the three of them downstairs, we have to react to a line that took my breath away. John
I think I know what you're going to say.
John reveals. Jeremy's like, why don't you like each other, to Jenna? And John says it's because they slept with each other.
Yeah, I couldn't work out if he was just trying to get a rise out of Jenna or if it's true. I really didn't know.
I think it's true.
It's true.
And then,
oh God.
Because she doesn't say that's not true. She says, I'm right here. And I had no memory of this. This has blown my mind.
That's a weird one to add to the relationship chart.
This is why we have the chart, because they just do this unnecessary shit for no reason. Why has John slept with Jenna? There's no point.
Yeah. The links that's going to make.
And also, does this mean that we're presented as this is the reason why Jenna hates John, and it's the only reason we're given why someone hates John? Are we to believe the other people that hate him have slept with him? Has Liz slept with him?
That's a great question. Also, like, I presume Jenna slept with Logan, and she hated him for a little bit, but was, like, very easily, like, swayed back.
I guess it's because John just is an arse.
So
probably
was Logan.
Just teased her about it every single time. Yeah, but he could be a charming arse.
There's no charm from John.
No.
There's just weirdness.
Yeah.
Also, a couple of other points before the party. I'm sorry, we will get back to the party. One is Elena and Matt. I'm so outraged by this. They're bonding so much. Matt's like, I couldn't have done it without you, blah, blah, blah. Elena knows, and it's like she's the one person that Matt's going to in all this trouble. She knows that Vicky's dead. It's so, I don't know, I felt so awkward just even watching it.
Also, it's like, so Elena's, she's organised the funeral and all of that, but in that conversation, they both make fun of Caroline trying to be supportive about Vicky's death. Elena's like, oh, is Caroline still, like, basically bringing, like, a bakery or making you loads of stuff? And it's like, oh, I could imagine for Matt and Kelly that might be a bit annoying, but it's like Caroline doesn't, she's just trying to be supportive, and Elena again is meant to be a good friend.
Yeah,
and she just they just take the piss at her.
Particularly from Elena, it was a really unnecessary dick, because she brought it up out of nowhere. Like, Caroline was just trying to help. Like, at least Matt didn't bring it up independently himself. He just kind of was like, yeah, she's being a lot, which is in keeping with the character, but it's just so unnecessary. We also had a little scene on talking about Vicky of Jeremy and Tyler. I wanted to ask you, how do we feel about their dynamic?
Didn't love it.
No, I think it's weird, because I think, like, they're kind of bonding over a girl they both liked that they fought over. It's quite a weird base for a bonding. I get we're kind of starting to maybe see some of Tyler's character arc, but I'm not loving it. And it's short in this episode.
I also think it's like Tyler just wants to get like party with Jeremy. He wants to take him back to like the old days or just get drunk, I feel, rather than actually, or like use that as well as bonding.
Was it with Jeremy he was talking about how he feels like he shouldn't be mourning Vicky, or was that someone else? Oh no, that was with Kelly.
That was
interesting. With Jeremy and Tyler, I do think it's so far the most interesting thing that Tyler has done, because I don't care about his friendship with Matt. I don't care about his weird relationship with Vicky. I hated it. So it at least is like a little, like slightly an interesting dynamic that he's got to do so far. But yeah, I am not that into it. And also, Jeremy was like, oh no, Vicky can't have OD'd because she was doing okay. But the last time Jeremy saw her, she was manic because she was a vampire. So she was like, they all thought she was on drugs.
Yeah.
But I guess Jeremy's forgotten that, or been to forget that. I don't know how far back it went.
They can't have made him forget the bit in like Matt's house. Remember when she was like eating everything and freaking out? Because what if Matt brought that up to him and he's like, I don't remember.
Yeah, good point.
I think it's literally the only bit is like the Halloween party where she attacks Elena.
And did they give a fake memory that she said bye?
Yeah, I think so. Because it was like she told Jeremy to say bye to Matt or something, and that's why Matt believes it as well, is because it came from Jeremy. Yeah. But you also have like a weird conversation between Elena and Jeremy in this episode, where they do sibling bonding.
Yeah.
And I feel like it's just Elena opening up about things that she should actually open up to her brother about, and then using it as a way to be like, so do you believe in vampires? Do you think they're real?
She does this conversation, but it's actually really interesting because she actually talks to Alaric earlier, and Alaric's like, don't you get tired of it? And Elaine's like, what? And Alaric's like, the lies. And it's like Elena hadn't really even clocked that it was an issue that she's lying to everyone.
And she says it's not safe for people to know the truth. Why? Why isn't it safe for people to know the truth?
Safe for the not knowing.
Yeah. It's not like, I know we keep talking about Twilight, but it's not like Twilight where there's an Italian vampire police force that will go out and kill everyone if they know. There's nothing like that here. It's a lawless land, so they can do whatever the fuck they want.
Well, also, when there's that many vampires consistently coming about, and also there is a Founders Council who talk about vampires, like John's just swanned back in and been like, no, the vampires haven't gone. So like, John knows Damon's in the council. We know the Lockwoods are in the council. We know Liz is in the council. We know Logan was. So I just don't understand why Jenna can't know. Fine if you're like, Jeremy's too young, he shouldn't be brought into it just yet, but like, if Rick and John and every other adult seems to be aware of what's happening, I'd bring Jenna in. I just don't see why you keep her in the dark in any way.
I agree. I think like, if they're like, oh, it's safer for someone not to know, you know what, the safest thing then would be like, don't be in Mystic Falls. Like, either if you're in Mystic Falls, safer to know.
Yeah, because again, I know we've spoken about it so many times, but like, why would someone be wearing the Vervain gifts? I wouldn't wear it every day. Would you guys wear it every day? But if you're told what it is, you would wear it every day, and you know how to protect yourself.
The only thing I have like on me every day is my phone.
Yeah, Vervain in the phone. But that wouldn't really help you if it's in your bag.
Can you put Vervain in a phone?
Maybe in a phone case.
One thing I did want to say about the Jeremy Elena conversation was, it cracked me up that the scene is like, do you want to go? We need to go have a walk. We need to have a little talk. And then cut to Jeremy being like, I can't believe Mum and Dad never told you were adopted. Like, the laziest writing ever. They couldn't be asked to do that work. They were like, we'll just do some hardcore exposition to know that Jeremy now knows.
They don't even talk about it for that long, because then Elena goes, so Mr. Saltzman showed me your history paper. Like, they just don't cover the adoption chat. They can't be bothered.
She gets heavily involved in Jeremy's schooling instead.
Yeah.
We also have to talk about the insane scene of Damon in Elena's bedroom.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, we do.
I just feel like he's very intimate with her stuff. Like, he plays with her teddy. He picks up her bra, which, or undies, not a fan.
He is a
he's very young.
Pervert and sexually harassed her there. I will say, this is the thing. They always take it one step too far. When he went on her bed with her teddy, I was like, that's quite funny. He has his shoes on the bed, but that's quite funny. Then he starts rifling through her drawers and picks up her bra. And it's also like a bra of clearly a 17-year-old, like quite a childish bra. And it made me really uncomfortable. I was like, she is a child, sir. Leave her alone.
Yeah. But also the scene before, like, that's definitely the worst bits. But the scene before, like, before he's in the room where he's downstairs and he goes like, no, Elena, I will not go to the bedroom with you. And Jeremy's there and just rolls his eyes. And I'm like, Jeremy, what do you think is happening? Like, this is just mad.
Jeremy's so done with their shit this episode. I kind of like it.
It gave me the same vibes, you know, when he came back drunk and he just gave like two thumbs up to Jenna. That was the same vibe I got from
Yeah,
her.
Definitely.
Right. Do we want to talk about the party, or is there anything else we want to cover?
Back to the party.
I think we can flash back to the party. To start with, sorry, just right at the beginning of the party, they've got the little background noise, but they have it loud enough that you can hear what someone's saying. And you just hear someone going, I know our little town. Like, the entire chat at the party is just about Mystic Falls. Like, they're just talking about the town.
I think that's all they ever do, though. Like, they've got a month of these founders events, but clearly not just a month, because, like, we've already said so many times, they've already had an event.
Yeah.
I don't know. Also, before we get into, like, let's talk about the minutia. Why is everyone in black? Was there a dress code of all black?
Maybe it's a dress code. I wouldn't surprise me if Carol put a dress code on it.
Stefan and Damon are in matching outfits again.
They love to do it.
I kind of love to see it.
Yeah. I just at the end, I was like, why were they all in all black? I
didn't... It worked for some of them. Liz looked great.
Oh, Liz looked amazing.
I also really enjoyed Damon and Liz's interaction there. Like, he looks smashing and she's like, oh, I needed that. Oh. It's quite cute. I feel like Liz and Damon's relationship.
Definitely.
Yeah, I do like it. It's a fun little dynamic. Big shout out to the extra dancing, particularly when Stefan was confronting that guy. But also, I loved Stefan dancing with Kelly.
Oh, same.
Oh, that was so, yeah. He was so fun. I feel like drunk, fun Stefan is, yeah, so much more of a character, standard Stefan.
Very fun until he starts being a dick to the guy who, don't get me wrong, the other guy was a dick.
He is then awful.
But
they were both awful in that scene.
Yeah. Stefan's also, like, it's so stupid. He's not even subtle. I know no one's paying attention, but he says, like, come dance with your alcoholic vampire boyfriend, and then compels someone multiple times. And I'm like, there are all the founders who know, but obviously they're not.
They all know.
Like, they're obviously not paying attention.
It's crazy. But... yeah, he is particularly painfully obvious this episode. So, on costumes, I meant to say, but I forgot when we were talking. I think the costume designer couldn't decide how formal the event was. Because you're right, everyone is in black, but they're in weirdly different levels of formal. Like, Tyler, like, we've got full-on suits, we've got t-shirt and blazers. Matt is in a fucking hoodie.
I think they make that on purpose because the Donovans have never been to one before and they're probably a last minute invite. So I think they make it to be like, the Donovans don't belong here, which I think is really unfair. Why can't the Donovans go? But I think they've clearly been like, they didn't get the memo about the vibe.
What's Kelly wearing?
Kelly's in like a purple dress. She's in like a purple dress, I think.
Oh, so she didn't get the colour.
Mm.
I see. Fair play then. Good costume work. I take back my criticism.
I mean, it could have been lazy and I'm just giving them more credit. I don't know. Who knows? Do we want to talk about John and Damon, or do you want to talk about Kelly and Tyler first?
Oh, choose your own adventure. You pick, Albion.
I vote for Tyler and Kelly first. It's questionable. So this is where... So Tyler's like apologising to Kelly about Vicky being like, I would have treated her badly, all this. It's so inappropriate because it's someone who treated your daughter awfully, was your daughter's kind of like boyfriend who was terrible to her, and then you get with him. Yikes.
Yeah. Also, I did like, what was the dynamic that Kelly and Tyler have had before this? Because Tyler and Matt have always been friends. Like, has Tyler been around the house a lot? How often does Kelly know him? I just don't I didn't like it at all.
Definitely know each other. Yeah, I didn't like each other. She's clearly known him since he was a young child because they've been friends for years. She knew Elena fairly well. So though she's not been about that much, she has been like sporadically. Like I've got the impression like when things are good, she's been in their lives. And when she's off the rails, she's not there at all. So she's clearly met. It's just like really gross from so many sides. Like he's very vulnerable because he's underage. Like he is, what are they? They say six. Is he 16? 17?
17, I think.
Yeah.
17. She's a grown woman. Her daughter just died. Like, who thought this? Why?
It's also her daughter's ex-boyfriend and her son's best friend. But let me tell you.
Yeah.
Right. Julie Cooper in The OC also does this. Her daughter doesn't die, but she sleeps with her daughter's ex-boyfriend who cheated on her and was her daughter's first. So it's a storyline they do, which I'm not here for.
Which do you think is a bigger betrayal? Which do you think is worse?
Well, it's...
I'm going to leave that long pause.
They're just both
because
so awful in different ways. Like,
they're so awful.
After your daughter's died, but also...
No, but this...
To your daughter's current boyfriend, or was it ex-boyfriend?
It's almost like just ex-boyfriend, but your daughter's still around, and it was like a proper affair. Like, they were going into motels, sleeping with each other, like, hiding it from people.
I think that's got to be worse when it's close.
Yeah, it's just because Marissa's still alive in The OC, whereas, like, Vicky being dead, I don't know. It's two very different things, both incredibly awful. Yeah. I also think maybe Kelly, because like Matt's the extra element, like it's Vicky and Matt, where it's just like, and he has to come out and he finds them making out. And then Tyler goes at him.
Beats him to a pulp.
And strangles him. He could have killed him.
Yeah.
He just like, and then the show is just Tyler like having to go to court for murdering his best friend.
Right. Let's be honest. We've spoken about the corruption in Mystic Falls. Tyler would never be going to prison for that.
No, good point actually. But yes, because of that, like literally everyone sees Tyler nearly kill Matt, and the mayor's like, everything's fine, guys, go about the party.
I will say Tyler, I think it was like quite decent acting when he's pulled off. He clearly is just like has no idea. It was like such a full rage blackout where he was like, wait, what's happened, in terms of him pummeling Matt.
I can never remember the actor who plays Tyler's name, but I think he, and we'll get onto this more in later seasons, but I think he's the best physical actor on the show. Like he always does really well in that kind of stuff. So again, with this like fight scene and like calming down, I think he's really, really very good physically, as opposed to, he's fine delivering lines, but he shines other times.
that's fair. But yeah.
I do feel very bad for Matt. This is awful. Yeah. Your sister just died. Your mum just got with your best friend. And then you were just beaten by your best friend, like, insanely.
Yeah, and then it gets to a point, just because we're talking about it, going towards the end after the party, Matt packs up Kelly's clothes and has to say to his own mum, like, I'm better off without you, after all of the things. And it's that on top of just finding out that his sister is dead and he just, like, doesn't even want to have his mum around because of... shenanigans like this.
And I mean, from what the show's shown, like, he is, she's done nothing but added stress and
it's not a nice dynamic.
And Mayor Lockwood punches his son in the face.
That's also awful. You do at least like, oh, I'm not on Tyler's side in this episode at all, but that's just not like, it's awful.
That's not okay.
Mayor Lockwood is an awful, but like,
was it, he just like, he's not disciplining Tyler, not that I think that's an acceptable form of discipline, don't get me wrong, but like, he's not even disciplining Tyler from the fact of like, what are you doing? What your behavior just then was unacceptable. It was just like, it was unacceptable because you're embarrassing the family, not because getting with your friend's mum and then beating him to a pulp is not a way to behave. Yeah. It was just like, oh, you've embarrassed us at a party. Don't do it in front of people.
Seriously, Carol, leave this man.
Yeah. Please.
She should.
Have we seen any good parents in the show so far?
No.
I would say no.
Like, actual parents? Because I feel like Gran's, but I know she's not a parent. And Jenna's quite good, but she's not a parent.
Jenna's also so absent.
I think Jenna's doing her best. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't mean she's, like, really good, but I think she's, all circumstances considered.
Yeah, I would say Jenna's not a good parent. I think Gran's is a good example. I would also say I do think Carol and Liz are good parents, but I think they develop into better parents as the show goes on. So right now, I would not say they are good examples. Even Giuseppe, like every parent we've seen is awful. Like everyone has a bad
I guess
parent.
Carol and Liz, we haven't seen too much of that. Well, actually, Carol, we have seen a bit of her parenting. Well,
and with Liz's, she's really absent.
Yeah, and Caroline just gives her like digs every time they try and have a chat. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So we haven't seen. No good parents.
That one good parent.
I think we're meant to get the idea that Miranda and Grayson were excellent parents, but we haven't seen them, so we don't know.
I can't remember. Do we ever like flashback to them? Do we ever see them?
I can't remember.
We see them once, I think, in the whole 8 seasons. Okay. Someone can at me for it if I'm wrong, but I believe we see them once.
Play. That's mad. It just feels like they're talked about so much, you know?
So much. Yeah.
And just on the kind of Kelly and Tyler, this isn't Kelly and Tyler, this is Kelly afterwards. This is when like Steph really kind of goes off the rails. He smells that she's bleeding, comes up to her, has a very bizarre interaction where he just like touches her face.
She's bleeding from the forehead and he just like strokes it. Also, I'm sorry, she's in such a crowded room, but she's bleeding from the forehead and she's sobbing and no one pays her the slightest bit of attention. Only Stefan, but because he smelled the blood. Like this poor woman. Yeah. I know she's not.
But if anyone had noticed, he'd have been outed immediately, because what weirdo is like stroking the blood, like obsessed with it.
Scenes like this is why I do the podcast, because that is a series of chaotic decisions that the writer, director and actors have all made to put together a truly bizarre scene.
Because she could have been cut anywhere else. Like, why have they done it directly on her forehead?
Don't know. Yeah. Maybe because they're like, sometimes we talk about blood as being sexual. Maybe they were like, wanted to be really clear that it is not sexual between Stefan and Kelly. And what's the least sexy body part? The forehead.
She would have grazed her. I don't know. Toes?
No, toes are sexy to some people.
I said to that some people.
Not us, but for some people they are. I think forehead is like objectionably.
Yeah, that's safe.
You're always
safe.
Look, there are freaks everywhere, but no one's really into foreheads.
Yeah, I'd be really surprised if people like, what could you do with that?
Okay. Freaks will find a way.
I don't want to open
anyway.
That kind of word. John and Damon.
Yeah, let's get back. They have a little confrontation because like Damon can't get on with anyone, and John can't get on with anyone.
So it works really well. But Damon did say, actually, there was a line where Stefan's like, "Why do you even come to these things?" And he's like, "I love that they love me." I was like, "Yeah."
Oh, that is good. I do enjoy that.
I think that's the women of Mystic Falls.
Well, Carol and Liz.
Yeah. Like
the women.
Damon's not a guy's guy. He's a girl's guy.
That is true.
Yeah. Million.
Although him and Rick are starting to get along.
They're stood next to each other sometimes.
I think the last time Rick punched Damon in the face, so I don't think we're at a bromance stage.
Yeah, they left the party together to confront John after he came back to life.
Yeah, it's like a Stefan and Damon, they've got to get on because they're like now a team.
They're now like a little team, because I feel like, and I felt skipping ahead, but when Damon kills John and he comes back to life, Damon is like to Rick, look at the ring, like they have a little... thing going on.
So I think that reveal was way better done than what they did with Rick before, like the reveal of John coming back to life. Should we go back? We'll go back and then we can talk about so this party as well. Sorry, I'm flitting now. Wild. So you've got like a massive dance rager going on. You've got Jeremy sat by himself at this really calming fireplace that's like silent, and then you've got John and Damon on the terrace having some kind of argument. And I'm like, what is going on at this party? Why are there so many different vibes? Why are there so many different rooms all in use?
Because it's massive.
Why is this party not at the Lockwood Manor? I just don't understand why we're in a new place.
Yeah, no idea. Weird place. But anyway, so yeah. Damon and John will finally get to this topic. Damon and John are having a conversation on the balcony. Turns out John knows who Damon is, knows all about it. Because when he starts talking about 1864 on the church, I was like, what a weird reference for John to do. Does he know? And then straight away he's like, no, I know who you are, and I know about your brother, and I know about the tomb vampires.
He knows everything. It's crazy.
Mm.
Is, as you talked about earlier, like comparing it to Alaric, his entrance is semi-reminiscent of Rick's entrance, because when Rick first arrives, it kind of feels like he knows everything, and then it quickly turns out he knows absolutely nothing. But John is this mysterious person who's moved to town and now also appears to know everything and also has the same thing as ring as Rick. So I wonder if they were originally planning to do something different with Rick and then maybe reworked some parts of it into John's character. Maybe Rick was meant to be slightly more antagonistic when he was first introduced, just because they're so similar in their introduction and how they originally position themselves in terms of like the narrative of the show.
That's a good point. Yeah. I'd never thought about that. Yeah, because they both have like beef with Damon and Damon gets annoyed by that and kills both of them. But I really like that John comes in, knows everyone, and he's not a stranger. He's not a new, well, he's a new character to us. But he's not a new character to the main characters of the show. So then you are even more like, how does he know this all? Because he's Elena and Jeremy's uncle. He knows Jenna. He clearly comes back every now and then. So like, where's the link?
Where do you think he goes when he's not in Mystic Falls? Because he screams like the kind of guy to be in Mystic Falls forever. What else is he doing?
Do you mean Big Fish, Small Pond?
Yeah.
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 Yeah. Maybe he's gone to an even smaller town. I don't know.
I want to run this town.
Maybe he's trying to found another town because he loves the founders. So he's desperately like trying to do it for himself.
He does. Did you hear? Let me find it. I wrote it down. Damon's got angry. He's killed John. He thinks it's all fine. And then John comes back to like ring the bell to kick off Founders Day, and Richard refers to him as one of our town's favourite sons.
The fact they even have a bell, just to go to that, they have a bell. Why do they have a bell?
They also have Confederate soldiers stood behind the bell. Did you guys clock that?
Oh my god, I didn't,
and that makes me Yikes. Really upset.
There are two people dressed up as Confederate soldiers while the bell is being rang. It is sick. It is disgusting. Like,
Oh my god.
Oh my god.
I'm furious about it.
What is their obsession? Why do they think that's an acceptable thing to do?
Yeah.
They're racist.
Call a spade a spade.
Just back to John and Damon's conversation on the balcony. One thing I did kind of like about John here is it was goading Damon, like, have a bite. He was goading him into killing him because he wanted the big reveal. I feel like John was just itching to do
drama
a big reveal. And you know what? I support that. The one thing I support about John Gilbert.
I will say, while I agree that the ring's reveal was more dramatic, first of all, I thought the first resurrection ring is a lazy tool. To have two magical rings that bring characters back to life is so lazy. It's so boring. I can't believe how shameless the writers are by doing it again. Like, it's pathetic.
Also, to be linked to the same woman, like John says he gave his ring to Isabel and that's why Rick has it. So it's not even like there are two ones that are separate. Like, both rings are linked to John.
God.
Yeah. Yeah. Didn't love it. But also, I find it really weird. I just like, it's good, kind of a good storyline. Makes you really intrigued about John, because Damon and Rick have gone out to confront John now that they know that he's alive again and after he's rang the silly bell. And they go out, and so he says that he knew Isabel and that's who he gave his ring to. But then he said to Damon, like, who do you think sent her your way when she wanted to become a vampire? How did John already, why was John the person that Isabel turned to become a vampire?
I think because John's a founder and knows about vampires. So maybe if they knew each other, we don't know yet, but maybe like Isabel learned that vampires were definitely real from John.
Mm. Then how does he know Damon? How does he know vampires to put her in touch with?
Maybe when he's not in Mystic Falls, he's just like, not killing vampires, just getting their location.
Getting the intel.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah, I don't know. He's a mystery.
He is.
Yeah. But I think it's good. It does make you want to know more, because you're like, what is happening here?
Yeah, I feel like he reveals he knows it all, but we know nothing about his like connection, why he's here. And then I guess the only finishing storyline is Stefan and his sort of chaotic downward spiral. So he confronts a guy who was a dick to him, and he was a dick too, in the party, and they have, we don't really see what happens. They have like a conference, grabs his hand, and but then we don't really know more until Elena comes out and like finds this man who's like, I tripped and fell in the most monotone voice. Yeah.
And then he's in Elena's room having a bit of a breakdown, and she has to keep being like, I'm not scared of you. And I was like, why would you not be scared of this side of Stefan, who's clearly like on the brink of things and keeps saying how much he doesn't want to hurt her?
Yeah. And Stefan also refers to Kelly as Matt's mom. And I just think, you know, have some respect of the mother of the person you killed. Like, call her Kelly. Come on now.
Yes. No, I thought that. I thought it was a weird choice.
Like, we, the audience, don't know who Kelly is, maybe.
Yeah, we're not meant to care about her that much, potentially.
Yeah, because by the end of the episode, he's still drinking human blood. So I like that they don't, like, resolve it in one episode. Like, we're going to have to deal with this for a little bit longer, because I think it's fun.
Although what is interesting, I think you feel like Stefan's now being honest with Elena about the struggle, and like he's gonna keep her in the loop, so you're kind of left with that. He drinks human blood, but like, no.
Can I ask you guys about, so how he ends up drinking human blood is, he comes home, Damon's drinking it from a tumbler, leaves it, and then Stefan drinks it. What do you think about the blood in the glass? Because I thought it looked disgusting. Like, I thought it didn't even look like how they normally make the blood look. It just looked really like thick and goopy.
It looked weird.
Yeah. I was like, that's not appealing for Stefan, surely.
Normally it looks a bit more red wine-esque.
Yeah, like Pearl drinking out of a wine glass. Love it. This looked disgusting.
Maybe it just wasn't good quality blood. Like, Damon was clearly drinking it to tempt Stefan, so maybe he was like, I'll use the shit stuff. He's not a,
probably, to be fair.
He's not a connoisseur like Damon.
No.
One thing we didn't discuss, just because it is, I guess, quite a big plot point, is Jeremy reads Elena's diary as well.
Oh, crap, yeah.
Because Elena's an idiot. They have a conversation at the party, and Elena's just the least subtle person on the planet. If you're going to lie, lie. If you're going to tell the truth, tell the truth. Don't do some weird in-between where you're like, look away, look away.
Or she's also like, I'm not going to engage in this conversation, just drop it. That's the worst thing to say.
That's not what you say to someone who's curious. Don't just drop it. That's like, yeah.
Also, when you know he's right, like, you need to think of something better to say, because you know that your boyfriend killed Vicky. So, like, you know that Jeremy's suspicions are, like, are spot on. So I don't... Also, sorry, why does she hide her diary behind a painting in her room? Weirdest place.
Yeah. But, like, it's such secret information, like, you can't possibly tell Jeremy anything about it because it's so, so dangerous. But she can write literally every... Like, literally, we see bits of her diary and it's like, we had to take away Jeremy's memory today. It's crazy. Yeah. Then Stefan stabbed Vicky.
Yeah. Like, bit by bit, everything that's happening. Like, she was a monster and this happened and vampires are real and blah, blah, blah.
I feel like this is also probably lazy writing, because they just wanted a way for him to find out everything all at once.
Yeah.
And having Elena having written down the minutiae of everything that's happened helped.
God, what I'd do to read Elena's diary with all the minutiae that we don't see.
God.
I dropped a pencil at school today. Whoops.
She does have very clear penmanship.
She does. I did like her writing. I was like, oh, if only mine looked like that.
I guess it needed to look like that for us to read the drawing.
Very true.
Anything else we want to discuss?
Just on his Lena's diary. Do you think that you could do a ChatGPT diary?
I reckon really you could.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, we're going to do that. And if it's funny, we'll put it out into the world. If it's not funny, we won't speak of it again.
Yeah, okay, that sounds like a solid plan.
So I think we can move on to stats.
Yes.
Yes.
So, one of you two want to intro the stats? I feel like I always do it.
Oh.
So I think...
Okay.
I don't know.
Well, you can't, now you were really thrown. Well,
sorry, I don't really know why I threw myself.
I'll tell you what, one of you do it in this episode and one of you can do it in the next episode.
Lovely. Okay, I'll do this week's, Al, you can do next week's. But every week we are getting into the minutiae detail of Vampire Diaries. We want to know who's getting with who's killing who, and who's coming back to life. So we have a relationship chart, and this is all the relationships that we see on screen or that they tell us have existed previously. We see people getting together, or we see people falling in love, they're being added. We've got a death chart, and this is people that we see being killed or see coming back to life. So we have to at least see it for it to be added in. So this week we have,
starting on relationships,
one relationship.
Well, we've got two. We've got our most chaotic ones ever, I think.
Oh god, yeah, they're bad relationships to add.
Oh god, yeah, we do have two. Sorry. I forgot about the one we saw.
Go on.
We have John Gilbert and Jenna, and Kelly and Tyler.
Crazy.
Lovely.
This is mad.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So by adding John and Jenna, you get John to Jenna to Rick to Isabel to Damon to Kelly to Tyler. See,
yeah,
she probably like link. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, so yeah. I will say the adding these two to the chart were very difficult ones to add up, because we had to join Kelly, who was already joined to our main bulk, to our Tyler, Jeremy, Bonnie kind of strand. So we've got them joined to the main lot now. And it was just a bit difficult, but it's done. It does mean that now it's a very, very long way round, but we do also have Jeremy joined up to a parental figure. Because if we follow what you were saying, going from Jenna to Rick, blah, 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 through to Damon, Kelly, Tyler, Vicky, Jeremy. So Jeremy is also, ooh, joined up to a parental figure. He joins that exclusive club. Ooh.
Well, so is Vicky.
Oh, and so is Vicky. It, yeah,
but so is Vicky, because it's like Tyler just one.
Oh, it's a
between.
Very that's a very close one. Yeah. Oh god, that's two connections. Yeah. Oh, that's our closest.
That's the closest.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Vicky, Tyler, Kelly.
Fucking. Oof. And just to say, Damon has the most connections. He has 5. So he is ahead on this, and he's also ahead on our kill count. So he's winning the show.
He is, because he's got another kill to add.
Yeah.
So he's killed John, but we've got another comeback from life to add, because John's not actually dead.
Yeah. So Damon is now on 23 kills out of a total of 43. And then we have 5 people back to life, but they're all on 1. So no one is leading just yet, but with the rings we have promise of more.
Yeah, now there's two rings. Yeah. So the possibilities are endless. These rings, I'm glad now we can talk about it, because these rings are the primary reason of us wanting to do the back to life element.
Honestly,
of stats.
These rings are crazy. So on to trivia. So John Gilbert is played by David Anders, which, as you said, Ellie, he was Sark in Alias, which I haven't seen, but you both have. Big fans of. He was also in Heroes, but not the good series of that. He was also in 24, but not the good series of that. on IMDb, his trademark, which you mentioned earlier, Ellie, is he frequently plays Englishmen with a flawless English accent, even though he is not English. And he's quoted as saying, "I have come to terms with the fact that I am not convincing as an American."
You know what? Maybe that's why he's attractive in Alias, because his voice is really unattractive.
What I want to ask you guys is his English accent flawless? Because I haven't seen him ever do one.
Yeah, I thought it was like, I couldn't, it's always really hard, because you know when it's a series of American people and there's one British person.
Yeah.
But I will say he doesn't sound like ridiculously posh. And when I was watching this episode when he arrived, I was like, oh God, is he not American? Because his accent's not amazing. But I wasn't completely sure that he was British. So I wouldn't say each accent is up to scratch, but I would maybe say his British was better than his American.
His American accent's weird, right?
Yeah,
I don't know what it is, but it's like it wouldn't surprise me if he'd spent, I don't know anything about the man, but if he'd spent a good chunk of his life not living in America.
Mm.
Yeah.
What they say in Alias is they assess his dialect to try and work out where he's from, and they say that his dialect makes it seem like he's got traces of, he spent lots of time in Galway Island, which I was like, this is a stupid plot line, because no, it was very like posh British. It was nowhere near like slightly Irish. which I know is not a plot line of Vampire Diaries, and it's a plot line of Alias. But I was like, this is so stupid.
Other facts I have. Justin Smith, who was the angry guy that Stefan fought with at a party. Now, he has already been in the show. He played Duke from episode 14, Fool Me Once. He was Duke from Duke. Now, he wasn't credited in this episode as Duke. He was just credited as Guy. But that might have been Duke that Stefan was having an argument with. And they thought we wouldn't notice. But little IMDb knew.
Of course, Duke from Duke comes back for Founders Day events because he has no friends in Duke and he has to party with the high schoolers. Like,
no wonder he has no friends in Duke. He's an arse.
And now we have my favourite bit of trivia that I have been holding on to for months at this point for this episode.
Oh, gosh.
There is a stunt double in the show whose real name is John Gilbert, and he acted as the stunt double for John Gilbert, the character, when Damon throws him over the balcony in this episode.
That's amazing.
That is so good.
That's crazy. He normally is Stefan's stunt double, so he's actually in a lot of the show and he's in the credits. But in this episode, he was a stunt double for John.
So John Gilbert was John Gilbert.
John Gilbert. That's yeah. That is, isn't that amazing?
I'm still just wrapping my head around the fact that John and Stefan have the same stunt double despite the fact looking nothing alike.
Well, I guess for he didn't need like that close one today, I guess, because it's just like a throw, so you didn't see too much. Like, I think he must look more like Stefan, and they were like, oh, we can also use him to do this.
Because he's got the same name, and that's funny.
Probably.
It's amazing.
That would be me.
I've got to be a stunt double for John.
One day, three British women are really going to enjoy this on a podcast.
It's all worth it just for that. Their credit in Missing Mystic Falls.
That was...
Shout out. That's what the people on the show crave, a shout out from us.
They knew it then. Like, Carol's just thrilled that we love her dinner parties.
Oh, let's get her on the show. That's yeah. The dream.
There'll be a point that we can talk about later on when we get to a few seasons later, but we can talk about our dream dinner party guests. And I'd be really keen to hear other people's dream dinner party guests from the show.
Yes. So keep listening and we'll get to that. But this is the end of this episode. If you want to keep in touch with us, what can they do?
They can tweet us at Miss Mystic Pod.
And you can follow us, DM us, give us a like on Missing Mystic Falls Pod at Instagram.
Yes. And then you should go to your podcast app of choice and you should give us 5 stars.
Please. No less.
Five, please. If that's the maximum. We want whatever the maximum is.
We want a 5 out of 10, actually.
I gave someone a 5-star the other day, so I can confirm. I will also say it wasn't us. I'm not doing my... Well, I'll keep that. Yes, I am. But...
but anyway, we will be back next week. Bye.
Bye.